We're going to start Hey Amid Aleph in middle of the page. I think maybe we started in the middle. Page Hey Amid Aleph of Chagiga, the second book, second one. Hey Amid Aleph. If you see where the Tesis on the left starts with the big word Zeh, even with that in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, until now the Gemara is talking about the various people when they came to various psukim, started crying. So, Rabbi Yochanan came out to the Haikra, when Rabbi Yochanan came to this Pasuk, Bocha, he cried. What did he say? What does the Pasuk say? V'karafti alechem l'mishpat, I'll draw you near for judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and those that swear falsely, and those that hold the wage of workers. They don't pay the workers on time. So he said, so what does the Pasuk say? Hashem says, I will draw you near to judgment, and I'm going to be swift witness against all those people that do these types of avedas. So he says, Evet Shirabi Mekarva Ladine, a servant, a slave, whose master draws him near to trust him, to judge him, and yet he hurries up to testify against him. Takani Yeshli, is there any remedy for him? That means from one side the teacher, the master is about to bring him close, and all of a sudden he goes against him. Amir Rabbi Yechon Mezakai said, Eilanu, woe is to us. That the Torah makes the easier mitzvahs as bad as the hard mitzvahs. Because if you look in this pasuk, the pasuk speaks about adultery, witchcraft, and people that swear falsely, and people that hold back payment to a worker. Now obviously everybody can understand adultery and witchcraft is much worse than holding back payment from a worker. Yet the Torah in the same pasuk puts them together. So Rabbi Yechon, woe is to us that God holds us liable for the easier sins as much as for the severe sins. I didn't know they have these things in California. Coats and umbrellas? Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Kol amate dine shel get. Whoever perverts the judgment of a get, of a convert. That means, you know, he doesn't judge him honestly because he says, he's a guy anyway. So what if he converted? The Gemara says, Kilamata dina shel maila, if it's considered as he perverted the judgment of Hashem against Hashem. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Matei ged. The Pasuk literally means those who pervert the judgment of a get. But don't read it Matei, read it Mati. Meaning, God says, you're perverting me. He can come here. Hashem says, it, I consider it as you perverted me. Then the Gemara says, Amr b'chanina by Papa. These are all like different Gemaras, so even if you miss one, you get the next. Amr b'chanina by Papa, b'chanina by Papa said, Kol ha'esa davar m'schari bay, anybody who does something and regrets what he did, mechon le'miyad, Hashem forgives him right away. If you do an Aveda and you right away regret it, you do tshuva, Hashem forgives you right away. Shenamer, because the Pasuk says, Lo yireyani, because they don't fear me. Ho yiruni, but if they do fear me, God says, by regretting what you did right away, Mechlen lo miyad, you get forgiven right away. Now, Taisus over here asks a question, and Taisus asks, L'cheda in the Gemara in Yuma says that by certain avedas you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. Regret basically is the concept of tshuva. So here the Gemara seems to imply that if a guy does an aveda and regrets it, meaning you do tshuva right away, you're immediately forgiven. That's what the Gemara says. So Taisa said, but the Gemara really says in Yuma, that you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. So Mefashim explained that there's taka different of opinions in the Gemara. Our Gemara holds any sin you do, you regret it, you're right away forgiven. Other people say, no, you need Yom Teshuva and Yom Kippur.
Doesn't there differentiate between negative and positive commandments?
No, because here the Gemara seems to imply, regardless. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon, Kimata Lahaikra, Rabbi Yechon, when he came to this Pasik, Bacha, he used to cry. What's the Pasik? It says, about the bottom third of the pages we're up to. Rabbi Yechon, Kimata Lahaikra, when Rabbi Yechon came to this Pasik, he cried. What does the Pasik say? He has called Maiso Alekim, every action that a person does, Alekim Yave Bamishpat, God will bring him to judgment. I'll call Nelam for every hidden matter. It's a Pasuk in Kehelis. The Pasuk says, every action, God will bring you to judgment, even if it's the most hidden action. That means even if openly it doesn't look like an Aveda, but if you intended it, it's no good. So the Gemara says, why did he cry? He said, Evet Shirabe Shekolo Shagogas Gazdainis. A slave whose master weighs the unintentional sins as bad as the intentional sins, takana yeshle, is there any remedy and hope for the guy? Hashem makes even the accident, what does the pasuk say? Even for the hidden avedas. Meaning even for not the open, intentional avedas. Hashem says, I'm still going to punish you. So the Gemara says, and this is a very interesting Gemara, Mike al kol nelam, what does it mean on every hidden matter? Which it means, even for little tiny, tiny things are going to be judged. So Gemara says, if you kill lice in front of your friend, and your friend is disgusted by it. Meaning, if you do something in front of a person that makes him disgusted, that's called nelam. That you're going to be punished for. The Gemara says another thing, one who spits in the presence of his friend, and his friends are disgusted by it. Meaning, Shmuel, as the Marsha explains, he brings down the Marsha, Shmuel is stricter than Rav, or adds a new dimension to it. Because Rav says, if you kill a bug, and your friend's disgusted, over there at least you can pick up the bug and throw it out. When you spit in front of your friend, there's not too much you can do about it. So it's even worse. By the way, this doesn't take away the concept of spitting by a lane, I mean, but you have to do it in a proper fashion that you don't make people disgusted by it. That's all. Then the Gemara says, the end of the Pasuk, the end of that Pasuk that the Gemara just quoted, that Hashem is going to punish you for all hidden things. The Pasuk continues, Im tevim ra, whether good or bad. So the Gemara said, the Pasuk implies in Kehelis that even if you do something good, God will punish you. Why should you be punished for doing something good? So the Gemara is going to give examples if when you do something good, but it's bad. What you do is good, but it's really bad. What's the case? Amri Dvei Rabbiane, so the yeshiva of Rabbiane said, it means as follows. This refers to somebody who gives tzedakah to a poor man in public. So he's doing a good deed, but he's embarrassing the guy. And this is what the Pasuk is saying, Im teiv adra, whether you do good, 582. What Gemara do you have there? Okay, so 582. I was scared, I thought you had Marcus, you know. The Gemara says, basically, the Pasuk says, Im teiv adra, God will punish you for good or for bad. So Gemara said, what does that mean? So Gemara says, sometimes you can do something good, but it's really bad. If you give tzedakah to a poor man in public and you embarrass him, so then it's no good. Like Gemara says, that's why the yeshiva of Rabbi Anai said it, because Rabbi Anai once saw, Lahu gavra de go yoev zuzo la'ani b'farhesya. Rabbi Anai saw the way a man gave a poor man money in public. Amalei. So Rabbi Anai said to him, Motiv do yahavtali. It would have been better if you didn't give him the tzedakah. Why? Mehashta di yarvle. Now that you gave him the money in public, because after you embarrassed him.
So all these people will come around without
the so the question is, what is that supposed to mean? So if the guy's asking for money in public, so obviously then you're not embarrassing him. Obviously, the case of Rabbi Yani was speaking that the person wasn't asking. It was a person that was shy. And he went over in public to humiliate him, so to speak, to say, hey, look, I'm giving you tzedakah. So the person felt embarrassed. So even though the act is good, Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelet, Hashem is going to punish you for it. Because bottom line, it wasn't good. The next thing is, Reb Shela gives another analogy, another example of you do something good, but it's bad. Why? This is also an interesting thing. A guy gives money to a married woman in a hidden place. So what happens? The kamaisa ledech shoda, people are going to start suspecting her of immorality. What happens? You have a poor woman. All of a sudden, you give her money, so she's going to go to the store and buy food, and people are going to say, oh, look at this. All of a sudden, she got money. What did she do with this guy already? She probably was a zona, and then he gave her money. So the Gemara says, even though what you're doing is good, but Shlomo HaMelech says it's bad, and you're going to be punished for it. Another thing is, Rav Amar Rav said another way of what you do is good, but it's bad. You know what we call treber in the meat. You know, treber means you have to take out the veins that are not kosher, the hind quarter basically. But in Eretz Yisrael, even today, and in Bavel in those days, they actually deveined the hind quarter of the animal. It's a very complicated thing, and it's It depends what language you're talking. In Farsi, maybe ika. In Hebrew, it's nikar. In Yiddish, it's called treberin. Basically, what it means is well, it's all the same thing: deveining the veins and the gidanosha, the sinew veins which are forbidden to eat. So the Gemara says, number one, not all women know how to do it. Not all women know how to do it. So if a husband gives his wife meat, so to speak, he's doing a good thing. He's giving her meat for Shabbos. But he's giving it to her every Shabbos. She might not know how to devein it, or she might think that the husband deveined it, and she's going to use it. So basically, what are you doing? You're giving a tray for meat. Right? So the Rav says, that's something which is good, but really bad. It's good, but it's really bad. So the Gemara asks, I, Rav Meshaget, but Rav himself sent meat to his wife. That wasn't deveined. So how did Rav do it if he said that this is something bad? So my answer is, Shani Basrav Chista, the Kimna Bhagavad Vikyor. Rav's wife was the daughter of Rav Chista. Rav was the son-in-law of the famous Rav Chista. And Rav Chista's daughter grew up in a scholar's house. So she knew how to do it. And she was an expert to check it if it was done or not done and, you know, how to do it and everything. So Rav didn't have a problem with it. Because he knew that if he would send his wife the meat, she would know if it was good or not and fix it. But not all women know that. So Rav said, on a regular case, to send undeveined meat, you know, to the wife on Erev Shabbos is, outwardly it's good, but really it's bad. So the Gemara says, basically, you can have, do a mitzvah, and God is going to punish you for it. So either he said, the first case was, you give tzedakah to a poor man publicly embarrassing him, or you give money to a woman concealed that people will think she did something wrong, or you send meat to somebody in a way that they might end up doing bad by it. And the reason why Rav mentions you send it out of Shabbos, the Mefarshim explained very simple, because then she's busy. She doesn't have time to deal with it properly, and then she'll either think it was done already or she'll just use it. And therefore it's no good. Then the Gemara continues and says, when Rabbi Yechanan came to another pasuk, Bachi, he cried. What was the pasuk? The pasuk says in Chumash, there shall be that many evils and distress come upon him. So Eved should Abi Mamsila Roy's Vitzoris, a slave whose master, what does Hashem say to the Jews? When you don't behave, I'm going to make you a lot of problems. So he says, can you imagine the master tells the slave, I'm going to make you a lot of problems. Is there any hope for such a slave? You know, to be able to survive, it's very difficult. So now the Gemara asks, my rois v'tzoris. What is this double expression, rois and tzoris? Okay? It's like a double header. So Amar Rav, Rav says, and it's very interesting, Gemara, rois shenasa tzoris zu lezu. Evil that compound one another. Now, sometimes you can have evil, but at least somehow there's like a remedy for the evil. Sometimes God gives you two evils that if you remedy one, the other one's no good. If you remedy the other one, this one's no good. And the Gemara is going to give an example. One opinion says, Amirav, what does it mean? Roy Shanasa Tzorasuzul Kagain Ziburava Akriva. If a wasp and a scorpion bite you, both together bite you. So it says, what does it mean? It says, here, the Gemara Naveda Zara says that hot water should be used to cure a wasp's bite, and cold water for a scorpion. The problem is, if you use cold water for a wasp, and hot water for the scorpion, is dangerous. So now you got a bite from a wasp and a scorpion. You can't use hot water because it's dangerous for one bite. You can't use cold water because it's dangerous for the other bite, so you're stuck. Huh? No, it doesn't work. Like Rabbi Yechon said, when the master brings such levels of evil that they compound one another, by the way, you know, this is the same thing in medical world today. Some of these people have conditions, the doctors have a big problem because the cure for one hurts the other. So they have to constantly balance it in a way that it should be okay. But here, like, so you have hot and cold, you can't use hot because it's dangerous for the other one, you can't use cold because it's dangerous, so you're stuck. So the Gemara said, this is what the Pasuk means. Ro'is v'tzoris, not only are they evil, but the evils are problems for one another. Because they make it worse. Or, Shmuel Amar Shmuel answers another thing. Hamamsi le'moyis lo'ani b'shaz deichke. This is a very unique, this is, in today's world, Shimshon, this is your department, I think. If somebody gives money to a poor person when he's uptight, and there's two opinions here, Rashi and Taisis, what it means. The poor man. Yeah, meaning, if you don't give him money, people will give him tzedakah. He'll be able to buy food cheaper. Now that you waited and gave him money, so now it's going to cost him more because of it. That's the way Rashi learns. Meaning, here. It literally means, according to Rashi, that it's purchased food at the time of distress. There's an expression you bring down Rashi, quotes, bread suspended in a house brings one to poverty. One who suspends his basket of bread suspends his sustenance. Meaning, money is available to be wasted, but money is not there to distribute charity. I'll explain in a second. This is where Rashi learns. Taisus learns, it's a whole different thing. If a person is poor and he can't support his family, so then he's going to have to get a loan. Now, once he borrows money from people, they put a lien against his house. But if the person is poor and he owes the government taxes, when they see he's poor, they won't put a lien against the house. So because people gave him the money to pay off the taxes to the government, they ended up putting a lien on his house, which made it even worse for him. Because now he's worse off than he was before if the people didn't give him the money.
It's like giving a doll to a poor guy who has $199.
Right. So this is what the Gemara said, this is Rois Vitzaris. Because it's so bad that sometimes if you didn't help him, he'd be better off than if you do help him. See, Rashi says, because if a person gives tzedakah when he's to the poor person and when he's uptight and not earlier, sometimes you make it even worse for him. Because now when people see he's uptight, food is going to be more expensive than if he got it, earlier, if you didn't help him out. It's like, there's a Yiddish expression, you wanted to help me, you made it worse for me. It happens a lot of times. You try to do somebody a favor and it ends up being worse. And that's what this Gemara means. Rudois vitzareis. So that I've learned it means the wasp and the scorpion. Shmuel says it means no. It means that you give an ani money when he's desperate, that it would have been better if you didn't give him the money. Then the Gemara continues. Or like Rashi, the Gemara uses the expression, Azuz is not available for buying food, but it's available to hang up in the basket in the house. Means there's money to waste, but there's no money to give to give what's needed. Like the government, you know? They waste so much money, but there's no money to give for what's actually needed. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says as follows. All the way to two lines in the bottom of the page. V'chor api b'yemahu, Hashem says, on that day when you're not behaving, Hashem says, I'm going to get angry at you. V'azavtim, I will leave them. V'start upon mayhem, I will hide my face from them. So the Gemara explains, what does this pasuk mean? Amar abad l'batavyumi amirav, kol she'ena behest uponim. Whoever is not subject to concealment of the face, ena mayhem is not one of the Jews. Meaning as follows, and this is an interesting halachic concept also. God says, on that day I'm going to get angry, I'm going to hide my face from you. So it says that only applies to Jews, because Jews have the revelation of God, so then the Shaykh forgot to hide. But El Goyim, God never reveals himself to them, so he never hides from them. So the Gemara says, Kol she'ena behest uponim. Who is not subjected, one who is not subjected to Hashem hiding himself, Einemem is not Jewish. It's similar to the practical halacha. A Jew in the morning has to get up and wash an egel vaser. The tells you daim, yeah? And if you're not supposed to touch food, and you're not supposed to touch this and that and that. The chayra goyim, get up in the morning, they don't have to wash an egel vaser. So they don't have an evil spirit, and we do. And they're like, what does it mean? So the answer in halacha, by the way, in Chassidus elaborates on that more. The halacha says, where there's kedusha, and kedusha leaves, impurity sets in. Where there's no kedusha to begin with, impurity doesn't set in. So when a guy goes to sleep at night, because there's no neshama, so tumah doesn't come in. So therefore, a guy doesn't have to wash nagavas, he can touch your food, there's no problem with the guy. But in a place where there was Kedusha, and the Kedusha leaves, so then Tumah comes in. So Jew has to watch Nagalvasa. The same thing Gemara is saying over here, that when Hashem says, I'm concealing myself from you, that means you were Jewish, because God revealed himself and now he's hiding. And the same thing, Kol she'en b'avayu le'achol, there'll be food for consumption, is also, Einam Ahem is not one of the Jewish people. Meaning, because only on what the Eibishter, where the Eibishter is revealed, that's where Hashem can hide. So now, Amar Rabbanan l'Rava, the Chachamim said to Rava, Mah. So the pasuk basically says like this, before we even go further. They said that the pasuk, that Hashem says, I'm going to hide, and if I hide, it shows you're Jewish, and whoever is not subject to v'hoyo lechol will be for consumption. Meaning, it says that the goyim are going to come and seize the Jewish money. That means the goyim will only come and seize the Jewish money. And if the goyim don't seize your money, it shows you're not Jewish. Now, the Gemara is going to go on and explain as follows. Rava, the famous Rava that we just learned about, was very wealthy. He's a businessman. Many of the Amiraim of the Gemara are mamish business people. and many of them were very, very wealthy. Rava was very wealthy. So Amar lo Rabbanu le Rava. So the Chachamim said to Rava, they gave him an ayin hara. And they didn't, because based on this pasuk, if you were Jewish and great, the government would loot your property. The goyim would come and take it away. And the Chacham said, wow, that's funny. Rav's property wasn't taken away by the government yet. it's like very funny. So they said to him, Amalei Rabbanu l'Rava. So Rabbanu said to Rava, Mar lebehested panim. Rava is not subject to concealment of the face, nor to the punishment of Yalachalis. He's not either, meaning he's a great tzaddik. God doesn't conceal himself from you. And also the government doesn't take away your money. So like, what type of Jew are you? The Gemara says a Jew is the one that when in Golus, God conceals himself, and the goyim take away your property. Rava was in Golus, and they said to him, I don't understand. You're a great tzaddik. God reveals himself to you. And at the same time, the government doesn't take away your property. So, like, you're not Jewish? Amar lahu. So Rava answered back, what do you think? I have it so good. Rava said, Miyadi'iso, do you know? Kame mishadrana bitzina beshvur malka. Do you know how much money I'm forced to send to the palace of the king? Do you know how much money they ripped? What do you mean? They didn't loot my property. He said, do you know how much money secretly, he didn't do it publicly, secretly I have to send to the government? So he said, what do you mean? Of course they looted my property. I have to pay all these taxes and stuff to the government. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Afilo hachi, Yo'ev ebei Rabbanon, the Chachamim gave their eyes upon him. And we'll see, there's another Gemara that says, any place that the Gemara uses the expression, the rabbis looked at you, it was either death or poverty. That means they cursed you with their eyes, it was either death or poverty. So even though Rava said, they did loot me because I have to pay all this money, nevertheless, like the Chacham didn't believe him, and they gave him these sharp eyes.
Why?
One second. Adahachi shadad veishver malka. Meanwhile, agents of the king came, vegavu, and they looted him. They took away all his property. Amar Rava said, so Hainu the Tanya, this is what we learned in a braisa, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Rav Shimon Gamliel said, any place where it says in the Gemara that the Chachamim looked at you, it's Ay Misa Ay Ani. Either death or poverty. So I guess I got the poverty. Now, their eyes are very devastating. Okay? And it says that even though the Chachamim were wrong, because the truth is, he did not have that much money that they thought he had, because he did have to pay all these taxes to the government. Nevertheless, when a Talmud Chacham curses you, even on a doubt, or even if he might be wrong, the curse becomes effective.
Why would he curse him?
What did he do to them? Huh? So Tesis explained over here, what's the story? What's going on? So Tesis connects it to Gumar and Brachis. I just happened to learn with somebody recently. There's a Gemara in Brachas in the 7th Perek, 8th Perek, whatever, talks, 9th Perek, I mean, talks all about dreams. The Gemara, there, a whole Perek, we learned it many years ago. The Gemara talks about dreams. And the Gemara says over there a statement that all dreams go according to the way they're interpreted. That's it. If you interpret it for good, it's good. If you interpret it for bad, it's bad. So the Gemara tells a story that Abaye and Rava both dreamt the same psukim. The same psukim in Tanakh, they dreamt. And there was this guy, what's his name? Barhedya. There's a guy in Rava and Abaye city by the name of Barhedya who interpreted dreams. I didn't even know if he was Jewish, but he interpreted dreams. And he said, if you pay me money, I interpret it for good. If you don't pay me money, I interpret it for bad. So the Gemara says, Abaye and Rava had the same exact dream. Abaye gave the guy money and Rava didn't. So for Abaye, he interpreted everything good. I'll give you an example that comes to mind that I just remembered. In a dream, it's the pasuk that they dreamt, it says about your daughters will be captors. Become captives. So to Abaye, he said, what does your dream mean? That your daughters are going to marry men from different places, and they're going to go to them, you know, to the husbands. So he interpreted the captivity in a positive way. That your daughters are going to marry guys from out of town and move out of town. So they're supposed to be captured away from you. To Rava, he said, your daughters are going to become captured. And the Gemara says, it happened to Abaye and it happened to Rava exactly as the guy said. Because Abaye gave him money, he interpreted for good, and Rava didn't give him money and he interpreted for the bad. This story happened as a result of one of Rava's dreams that were interpreted negatively that he's going to lose all his money. So therefore, it was a form of prophecy, so to speak, of what was going to happen, so that's what happened. Now, why did the Chachamim do it? What did they have against Rava? I don't know. Obviously, it had to be some type of, you know.
What year did he live in?
Who?
Rava.
What year?
Yeah.
He was at the completion of the era of the Gemara. So you have to figure... 500 years ago.
No, no, the year 500.
You're talking about 1500 years ago. Yeah, I was going to say 1500 years ago.
The year 500.
The king of Persia, Shapur, was the king of Persia.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out which.
I tell you, it's about 1500 years ago.
The year 500.
Yeah.
And the Jews were still in Babel?
Yeah, sure.
Even though.
Sure, they were in Babel. They stayed in Babel much afterwards. Then they spread out to the rest of Europe. To Germany, to France, to Spain.
So basically, the Jews went from Spain, I mean from Babel to like the Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Sephardic, right? It's Nazi Jews.
Let me tell you a little secret. The Persian Jews are not Sephardic Jews. They convinced themselves they are. Sephard means Spain.
Yeah, okay, Spain, sure, yeah.
So.
No, some of us are. Some of us came.
Right. From Spain. Okay, so you're.
So the Persian Jews ended up in some of them ended up in Europe, like Poland and Russia, and those places, right?
Right.
So the ones who killed.
The holy ones went to Russia.
Yeah, whatever.
And then from there to Crown Heights.
Whatever. So that means we're basically Persian Jews, right? Because our ancestors were.
First of all, Babel was Iraq, not Persia.
Iraq. Okay.
Yeah, we're all Saddam Hussein's boys.
So fast,
no, it's what's interesting. The whole Talmud Bavli, the whole Talmud we have now, is from Iraq.
I'm just saying that Eastern European Jews came from somewhere. They were born there, or they had to come from somewhere in the beginning. How they end up in Eastern Europe? They came from Iraq.
From Iraq, yeah, that's where the Jews went by the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash.
Our ancestors are basically Iraqis.
Or you came from Egypt.
Egypt to
Iraq.
Where did
it
come before Iraq?
Huh?
Before Iraq. It came from
Yerushalayim. From Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
There
was no
fallen
Russia in those days, was there?
There was. I mean, I don't know who lived there. Okay. Okay, I mean, obviously... The logic over here is that the Chachamim did not do it intentionally to curse Rava. They misunderstood him. They misunderstood that he had it so good, he wasn't looted and he wasn't this. So they gave him this, they said, according to the Pasuk, you should have been looted.
That Pasuk is v'hayal le'echol, that means...
It'll be for consumption. It means the goyim are going to come and take away your money.
That's basically the fact that...
To Jewish history.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, but this is only when the Jews didn't misbehave. The Jews were in Gaulis. When the Jews weren't in Gaulis, it was fine.
Because it says that
before Mashiach,
yeah,
the money is going to go through a process where it goes to the goyim and it comes back. Now it's, there's something about the in the goyim hands.
Yeah.
The concept of Golus, Chassidus explains, is a concept like a dream. Hayinu kecholmim. Right? That's why when Hashem, like in the Megillah, Hashem wakes up from the sleep, the king woke up, that's the end of the Golus. So in a dream, the Rebbe explains in a Maimer, that what happens, Chassidus, what happens in a dream? On top is at the bottom, and bottom is at the bottom. It's all famished. You know, dreams don't make sense. You normally, when you're up, what's on top is on top, and what's on bottom is on bottom. But in a dream, you have all these crazy things going on. So it says, whoever is in the bottom of the world ends up to be on top of the world. Whoever is supposed to be on top is in the bottom. That's the whole concept of Golus. There's no normalcy. There's nothing normal going on. It's all Meshuggah.
Wasn't it a couple of weeks ago, Tanya, that the Tachon was being sustained by the coin?
Yep.
The Mashiach's going to change?
Yep. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Okay, it's like 8 lines in the top. The Pasuk says, I will hide my face from you on that day. Again, it refers to the time of Golus and all that, when the Jews don't behave. Amar Rav, so Rav said, and this is a positive statement. Amar Kodesh Baruch Alpha Pishas Tarti Pane Mehem, even though I conceal my face from them, Hashem said, "Bachalam adaber bay." I'll still speak to him in a dream. Meaning, what does the pasuk say? "Vahoya bayoymahu." God says, "I will hide my face from them bayoymahu on that day," which means at night, God will still reveal Himself to the Jewish people. How does God reveal Himself to the prophets and to the people in dreams? So only during the day God hides Himself, but not at night. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says even more. Not only does God can reveal Himself in dreams, Yodi Natu Yolenu, Hashem protects us with His hands, even in Golus. Shenamar, because the pasuk continues and says, Uvitzel Yodai, in the shadow of my hand, Kisi Sicha, I will cover you. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, even though Hashem's angry at the Jewish people that He's concealing in His face, nevertheless Hashem says, I will still protect you. And the Gemara says a story in reference to this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the famous Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, have a ka'avid be case. He was once standing in Caesar's palace, not in Vegas. He's standing in the Caesar's palace. Achvalu, and the Gemara says like this, he was standing with an apicatus, you know, a non-believer, in the presence of Caesar. Okay? So it happens like this. Achvalu ha'apikursa. A certain Apicurus that was there made a signal to Rabbi Yeshua. What did he signal? That Amad Adrina Maril Apimine. This Apicurus said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, he moved his face like in the presence of the king, he went like this to Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua understood, what did it mean? That God is, you're a nation that God turns His face away from you. What happened? Achvalei, so Rabbi Yeshua signaled back, Yada Natuya Leinu, He's watching us. His hand still watches us. Okay? Now, so Amalu case, why did they do it? They didn't want to disturb the king. Mefarshim explained. They didn't want to disturb the king. Okay? But they were standing in the presence of the king. And so the Apicatus started making fun of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya going like this. So Rabbi Yeshua motioned with his hands that God is still protecting us. So what happened? Amar la kesa le Rabbi Yeshua. So the Caesar said to Rabbi Yeshua, "My achvelach, what did he signal to you?" He saw the motion. He said, "What's going on over here?" So Rabbi Yeshua said, "Amad adrina maril apiminei." He signaled to me that you're a nation that God turned His face away from him. So Rabbi Yeshua said to the king, "That's what he signaled me." And I motioned back to him that God is what still protects us with His hand. So Amar Leila Humina. So the king said to the Apicatus, "My Achvale, what did you signal him? What did you signal Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning?" So he said, "Amad Adrina Maral Apeminei. I signaled him, like Rabbi Shua said, that you know you're a nation that God turned his face away from him. So the guy said, so the Caesar said to the heretic, my ach velach, and what did he signal back to you? He said, lo yadana, I don't know. He said, I don't know what Rabbi Shua answered me. Amar, so the king said, gavra de lo yada my mach velei b'mochuk, a man who doesn't understand when you're signaling to him, Yahweh Kama Malkus should exchange signals in front of the king. Afkuva Katlu, they took him out and killed the heretic for being disrespectful to the king. Meaning Rabbi Shua got away with it. Let me just explain what happened over here. He says normally it's a mark of the way Mufashim explains like this. Normally, to talk in the presence of a king is disrespectful. But sometimes, when you make a motion in front of the king, not to disturb the king, whatever he's doing, is not a sign of disrespect. So the Rabbi Yeshua, it wasn't disrespectful because he understood the signals both ways. He understood what the guy signaled to him, and he signaled back. The guy, the heretic, only understood his signal, but not what Rabbi Yeshua said. So the king said, to do signals in my presence, if you don't know what you're talking about, that's disrespectful and then you get killed. And in fact, there's another Gemara that says even this Gemara, this expression sharper, man de mochav ebamochak kama malka, whoever makes signals in front of a king is chayiv misa. In the presence of a king, you're supposed to stand total bittel. Here the Gemara says at least, because Rabbi Shua understood it, you know, right. What's interesting, if you look in the Gemara, when Caesar spoke to the heretic, it doesn't say Caesar spoke. It said, Amru Leila Haimina. They said to the Apicurus, meaning the court officers. Why? So it says, interesting, because Caesar loved Rabbi Yeshua, so he spoke to him directly. So he asked him, what did you do? The king didn't want to speak to this heretic, to the Min, to the Apicurus. So the court officer spoke to him. That's why when it speaks about the king speaking to the Rabbi Shua, it says Amarle, singular. When it speaks to the heretic, it says Amrule, because the king didn't want to speak directly to him. Mm-hmm. Huh? Normally, Caesar is Caesar. Emperor. Caesar doesn't mean emperor. Caesar is Caesar.
Well, the first Caesar was
I don't know.
First Caesar was Julius Caesar. After that, they kept calling him
King Caesar. Caesars. Caesar. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. The first
number
was Julius Caesar, and after that,
he
was born Caesarian birth.
Right. That's where the name came from. They didn't call him Caesar because he was born Caesarian.
Yeah.
Right.
Caesar after that.
Yeah.
Or either that or
Yankel of Caesar.
Or he did that to his wife.
Or like Caesar salad.
Okay.
Or he did that to his wife.
Whatever, who knows? No, the way I always understood is Caesar was born that way. Because he was born that way. Yeah, that's what I always was told.
I heard someone that he didn't want his wife to give birth through that.
Natural way. Could be, I don't know. It's not in Torah, so...
Yeah, it's Caesar and also Caesar. It's two different things for the king, language.
Caesar here is translated in English as Caesar. Now, is it Caesar, Caesar?
Julius Caesar.
Or is it later kings which were called Caesars? Whatever.
Well, after the kings, they all became Caesar after Julius Caesar.
Who cares?
I'm just saying that's a...
But this Rabbi Yeshua Bechlau used to hang around with the emperor and the empress. That's why he was very close with them. He was very close with them. Okay, then the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yeshua basically saved the day. Rabbi Yeshua saved the day. So the Gemara says, Ki konaych nafshid Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya passed away. The Chachamim said, My teva alam mi apikursim. It wasn't when he passed, when he was about to pass away. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is very sick on his deathbed. The rabbi said to him, who's going to take care of the apikursim like you did? Rabbi Yeshua was brilliant.
Rabbi Yeshua was able to figure out how many drops of water there is in the ocean. Rabbi Yeshua was mamish, unbelievably brilliant. So they said, who's going to handle now the apikursim that you're gone? Amalehem, so he said, don't worry about it. Of the Eitzim Ibanim, when God takes away counsel, mean wisdom from his children, Nisrecha Chachmasim, the Goyisha wisdom becomes soured. In other words, don't worry, he says, once the smart Chachamim die, so the Goyim are going to become stupid. So everything's going to balance out, don't worry about it. Because they're not going to be as smart as they were. Yep. Kiv, like he says, Kiv and Sha'av the Eitzim Ibanim, once counsel is lost from the children, from the Jews, Nisrecha Chachmasim Shomus Ha'ilam, the wisdom of the nation will sour. Another pasuk, it says in by Yaakov and Esav that Nisav and Elecha, Yaakov said to Esav, I'm sorry, Esav said, Nisav and Elecha, let us travel together, Ve'elchel and Negdecha, I'll go alongside you. Meaning that the Goyim will never have, this is the way the Mashal explains, that the Goyim will never have the upper hand in debates. The Goyim will never have upper hands in debates. He said, don't worry about it. But the Rabbi Shua was really the one that used to take care of all the apikursim, so they got nervous. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Ila v'solik b'darga devei Rabbi Bashila. Rav Ila was walking up the stairs in the house of Rabbi Bar Ila. Shamil Yanuka overheard a kid, a young kid, Dava Kokari, that said the following pasuk. What did he say? Kineye Tzahorim, that God creates mountains, Ubeir Ruach, and he creates winds, umagad la'adam masichay, and he tells a person what are his words. Now, in the olden times, like you have the story of Purim, the people were very superstitious. The Gemara says, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, prophecy was given to kids and fools. Fools and kids, the Gemara says. So, many times, when the Chachamim would hear a kid, out of the clear blue, they heard a kid saying a pasuk, they took it as a prophecy. Or they took it as an in-depth lesson. Okay. That's why Haman met the three kids in the street, and he said, what did you learn? Altir, Mipachat, Pissim, all that. Okay. So now the Gemara says, so what did Rabbi Ila say? Eved Shirabi Magadle Masichi, a master who tells the slave everything he says in hiding, Takana Yeshli, there's a remedy for him. You know, what's going to be? And the Gemara says, what does it mean, Masichi? It says, Amarav, Afilo Sichi Yeseira, even extra talk, Vibain Ishli Ishte, which is between man and woman during marital relations, Magidim Le La'ase, La'adam B'Shasmise, recounted the person at the time of his death. Okay? That means that even what you do in the bedroom, so to speak, under covers, is going to be told to you. So the Gemara says, "Ani, it's not true." And you have to take the next piece of Gemara in the proper perspective. It says in the Gemara, asks a question. The Gemara says, "Rav Kahana v'ganit tu sepuriyu derav." Rav Kahana, there's a story with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara says in Brachas, followed his rebbe's into the bathroom. So people said to him, hey, come on, what are you doing? He said, listen, it's Torah, and I need to learn how to do it. Don't forget, there was no Gemara, there was no Shulchan Aruch, everything was oral, right? So Rabbi Kiva said, listen, there are laws involved how to go to the bathroom. How am I going to learn if I don't see them? Rav Kahana hid under Rav's bed because he wanted to learn the laws of marital relations. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana v'gana tu sepuria de Rav. Rav Kahana lay under the bed of Rav. V'shamein he heard, d'soch v'tzochak v'asat tzrochav. First Rav spoke with his wife and laughed with her, and then he did the marital act. Amar, so Rav Kahana said from underneath the bed, d'amei pume de Rav, it sounds from Rav's mouth, k'man le'toim le'tavshi, you never did this before, that you're such a talking and joking. Amalei said, I've said to him, Kahana, Pink, Kahana, get up, go, how are we doing here? Lav Urdach Ar, it's not proper that you should be here. So what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, how do you say that what a person says to his wife?
so to speak, is derogatory, negative, because they're going to tell you about it when you die. We see that Rav did it. So obviously it can be negative. And Rav was the one that actually said it. That they tell you the words. So the Gemara says, Lekasha. When he has to appease her, if he needs to appease her, he has to talk to her. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. So then the Gemara says, no, but you have to understand, you're talking about, and unless if you're from and you live with Teira, you don't understand what this means, this Gemara. You're talking about Rabbi Kiva in the first case. You're talking about Rav Kahana from the Gemara. They were complete tzaddikim to the highest level. They had no yetzahara. These are people that did not have a yetzahara within them. They were tzaddikim gemurim. They were a complete level of tzaddik. So for these people, there was not a problem, so to speak, doing it. In a few minutes is Rabbi Wolf's class. Okay, make yourself comfortable. So, for them, there was no Yetzirah, so the whole concept didn't exist. Right? So because the whole concept didn't exist, it was not, what they did wasn't wrong. They did it to know what is the halacha, what has to be done. So they did it.
You could have been taught how to do it.
Huh?
You could have taught it to them.
But there was no, like I said, there was no Shulchan Aruch, there was no Gemara, there was nothing.
Rabbi could have taught it to
them. Yeah, but you know what? As the Gemara says, you don't learn from Mishnah, you don't learn from Gemara, you learn from the way it was done. From Ma'aseh Rav, as it's called. So therefore they did it. They did it, but it was all done in Kedusha. So Rav said to God, what are you doing? Get out of here. Yeah. No, but again, it's not, God forbid, something that they did wrong, you know. Okay, let's start the next Gemara. Then it says in the Nether Pasuk, if you do not heed this, I'm sorry, if you won't heed the mitzvahs, Hashem says, my spirit will cry in hidden chambers because of your haughtiness. So Hashem basically says, in the hidden, when you don't do mitzvahs, in the hidden chambers I'm going to cry. Hashem says, I'm going to cry. So the Gemara says, "Ina Mishmer Amr Rav Shmuel Barina Mishmer the Rav Rav Shmuel Barina." Said the name of Rav. What does it mean? Hashem says, "I'm going to cry b'mistarim." Literally, mistarim means a hidden place. But the Gemara learns it a little bit differently. The Gemara says, "Makom Yesh Le'al Kodesh Baruch Hashem has a place, and it's called mistarim, meaning in hidden." Because the Gemara could have said, "B'seisa Tifka Nafshi." Grammatically, the pasuk could have said, "In hiding, Hashem says, I'll cry." B'mistarim implies not only in hiding, it sounds like it's the name of a place. So Gemara says it's the name of a place. And Mistarim Shmei, its name is Mistarim. My Mipnei Gavah, what do you mean because of haughtiness? Amar of Shmuel by Yitzhak, Mipnei Gavos and Shal Yisrael, because of the greatness of the Jews. Shenit Lamem, which was taken away in Golus from the Jews. Venit Nalev Dekachavim, and it was given to the Goyim. So Hashem says, what do you mean Golus and Shal Yisrael? Because the glory of the Jews were taken away from the Jews and given to the Goyim, Hashem cries. So the Gemara says, Rab Shmuel ben Nachmeni Yomar, not the exaltness of the Jews, but Negavos and Shomachos Shemayim, because of the greatness of godliness which was removed from the Jews. But the Gemara asks a very simple question. Umika b'chiyah kame kadosh baruch hu? Does God cry? Is there crying in the presence of Hashem? Rav Papa said, "Ein atzivus lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Rav Papa said in a different Gemara, "There's no sadness in the presence of Hashem." Shenamer, because the pasuk says, "Heid v'hada lefanav, glory and majesty are before him. Eiz v'chedva b'mkayme, might and delight and joy are in his place." So Rav Papa says, "There's no sadness by Hashem." So how can you say Hashem cries? Which implies that there's a level of sadness. If the pasuk said b'mkayme in the place of Hashem, there's only chedva joy. So Gemara to Lekash, Haba Bate Gavoi, Haba Bate Baroi. There's a difference between the inner chambers and the outer chambers. Meaning, in the outer chambers of Elokus, in the revealed parts of Elokus, there's only joy. In the inner chambers of Elokus, then there's crying.
Inner?
inner chambers. And the outer chambers is only joy. So the Gemara is going to challenge it, because the Gemara says, in the outer chambers not, but it says, Hashem says about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, weeping and eulogizing for the putting on the sackcloth. So from there you see that by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem did cry. And over there speaking about the outer chambers. So the Gemara answers, Shani Churban Beis HaMikdash, over there the Beis HaMikdash was so bad, Afilu Malachi Ashar and Baruch, even the angels cried. Shenemar Hein Erlam Tzaku Chutza, behold for the altar, they cried out, Malachi Sholim, they cried out bitterly. So Gemara answers as follows. In the inner chambers of Elokus, there's crying. In the outer chambers, at the outer levels of, we have to, next week we'll discuss this more. In the outer chambers of Elokus, there is laughing, only. But by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even the outer chambers cried. Obviously, this refers to what Chassidus would explain as the hidden levels of Elokus that are not revealed, and the revealed levels of Elokus, and the revealed levels of Elokus is only joy.